Good morning, and a very warm welcome to everyone, whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether this is your first time, your thousandth time, whether you're joining us live or whether you're catching up later, we're delighted you're able to join us. You might be a little confused. If you have been ahead of the game and you've checked your e-news this week, you'll be expecting that the Reverend Graham Cartledge will be standing up here. Graham is, in fact, our preacher today, and many of you will know him as a retired minister and an elder of this congregation, but he's had a bit of laryngitis. So, Graham has asked a number of us to step in and deliver those pieces that he has prepared. And if you've got a wee spare prayer, pray that Graham's voice holds up for the sermon, because otherwise somebody's doing it. We quite often in Orchard Hill begin worship in the morning with some shared reading. And this morning, I'd like us to say together the words of a modern version of Psalm 139. These words were written by Ian Pitt Watson, and they're just up on the screen now. So please join me as we read together.
You are before me, God. You are behind me and over me. You have spread out your hand. Such a knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high to grasp, too great to understand. Then from your spirit, where, God, shall I go? And from your presence, where, God, shall I cry? If I ascend to heaven, you are there, and still are with me, if in hell I lie. If I might take my flight into the dawn, if I wish where the ocean's marvelous shore, your mighty hand will rest upon me still, and your right hand will guard me evermore. If I can say to you, let darkness cover me, and I shall hide in the veil of night, surely the darkness is not dark to you, the night is not the day, the darkness is not the light. Search me, O God, search me and know my heart. Try me, O God, my mind and spirit try. Keep me from any path that gives you pain, and lead me in the everlasting way.
So, let's worship, singing our first hymn this morning, which is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you. And Ian Cartledge is going to lead us in our opening prayer.
Let us pray. Father, this is your house and we are your people. We have returned to this, our sanctuary, to offer you the very best that we can of ourselves in worship. For some, as we experience the light and warmth of this place, the world seems a place of brightness and beauty, of both adventure and security. For others, there are streaks of rain on the windowpane, shadows of failure or sadness, loss or uncertainty, not too far away. Yet it is here that we can all find the one who alone gives us inner peace, the master who has the key to life in all its fullness. Lord, help us to know the presence that this place exudes, that the sense of you working in the hearts and prayers and songs of so many through the years is even now resting around us and within us. That ancient knowledge of the Creator and Lord moving in love amongst his children. Father, as we gather again in worship, we long to make a clean start in our lives, paring away all that is bad and destructive, to allow the good, the worthwhile, the generous parts of our living to come to the fore. We confess our faults inwardly to you now, the intolerance of those who are different, the irritation with family at home and colleagues at work, the inbuilt selfishness which affects so much day by day. Father, forgive what we have been, amend what we are, and direct what we shall be in the name of the one who is Savior and Friend. In his words now, we say together the prayer that links us to his followers across the world and across the ages. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This was briefly a moment of great jeopardy, because Graham emailed me towards the end of the week and he said, got laryngitis, so would you do the children's talk? And then he put in brackets, but there might not be any children. So I am so pleased to see you, because otherwise I'm going to have to stand up here and look fairly silly. So please, boys and girls, will you come and join me? And I'll see if I get down onto this floor, will I ever get back up again? I might need a big strong boy to pick me up later on. I was saying to Graham, I don't have one of these in my house, and I hope somebody might recognise this, because otherwise we're a bit stuck. What's this?
Radio.
Well done. Radio? You all right in the back there? Yeah. You guys recognise it, don't you? Yeah. This one's a digital radio, and very recently this felt like really new. Bit of Elton John. We've not got copyright, so we'll maybe turn that down, shall we? But how's that music getting in there? I mean, Is Elton in the box?
No.
By satellite?
Yeah.
Wow.
By satellite.
That I think you're very possibly right. Is there any other way that we think the sound can get there as well?
Electricity
and radio waves. Radio waves. Now, I have a friend who is a physicist, and he could explain it all. But I always say, I don't need to understand that. It's fine. But these radio waves must be all around us just now, mustn't they?
Yeah.
Hmm. Can you see them? Can anybody taste the radio waves? Can you grab them?
No.
But where's Elton? Give him a moment. He's not young. So they're definitely still there, aren't they?
Yeah.
So do we believe the radio waves?
Even
though we can't see them?
Yes.
And even though we can't taste them?
Yes.
And even though we can't touch them?
Yes.
You see,
we can still prove it.
We can still prove it. And I think we believe in them, don't we? Because we know what's happening. But some people say that God doesn't exist. And the reason they say that God doesn't exist is because we can't see him, we can't hear him, and we can't touch him. That's a bit silly, isn't it? Here's the thing. This bag wasn't just a carry-on.
Go.
Don't go, Elton. It's not magic.
It caught the radio waves inside the bag.
The radio waves are going all... You can't hear me over Elton. We'll turn Elton down again, won't you? Even when it's in the bag, the radio waves get all the way in. And you know why? I'll turn this off. Because this radio was turned on, and now I've turned it off. It was turned on, and it was ready to receive. And sometimes we're not really ready and turned on and ready to receive God. But he's always there, and he's always just waiting. And every time we're turned on and ready to receive his message, he'll send it to us. So when we close our eyes in prayer and we get ready to receive, he will always be there for us. So thank you very much for indulging me on a bit of Elton John. Probably a good thing we didn't get any kind of thrash heavy metal there, because that was live radio, anything could have happened. I think the boys and girls are going up the back, aren't they, Isabel? Going somewhere up there. I think follow the crowd, you'll be fine. In fact, if you follow Fiona, she knows exactly where you're going. I think that might work better. And in the meantime, oh no, nobody's going to get me up. So, while I clamber up from these stairs, can we sing the next hymn, which is God of Every Shining Constellation?
Yeah.
And David Howard is going to read our scripture lessons for this morning.
The first lesson this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verses 50 to 57. Let us hear the word of God. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading from verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen, and may God bless these readings of his word.
Just before our move to the sermon, I can thank Linda very much for her help so far in the service. It's interesting how many people, when I said that I might have some trouble with my voice, immediately responded, you'll need to keep the sermon short. One of the privileges of preparing a service is, of course, being able to choose the hymns. And sadly, because of my voice, I've not been able to enjoy enthusiastic singing of them, but rather just mouthing the words. I hope you might have noticed that within so far there has been a general theme which has touched on the word immortality or immortal. And of course the readings tie in with what is a general theme of the service, which is the life beyond, the life hereafter. Just before our sermon, we're going to sing the paraphrase. It's found as number 424 in the book, Blessed Be the Everlasting God, the Father of our Lord, from 1 Peter chapter 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was trying to point the wall at the back of our garden before a rustic trellis was due to go up. It so happened that the cheery fellow who washes our windows chose to do the windows at the back at just that time. We usually exchange a few words about golf, since he's quite an enthusiastic golfer as well. However, this time, since we had a longer period in each other's presence, he got to talking, because he knew I was a retired minister, about faith and the ministry, while we were both doing our jobs. We ranged over a number of topics, but the parting shot, before he had to go round and do the front windows, was the question that was clearly central to his uncertainty. Do you really believe in life after death? As you might hope, I answered, I certainly do. But in the weeks between then and now, his fundamental question has stuck in my mind. You could say this sermon's for him, but actually, I reckon there's a fair number of folk sitting in churches regularly who might echo that sense of doubt. Do we really go on in some form beyond our death? Even though humans may work hard for a better world, we also want to understand the purpose, the meaning of our existence. Death, an unfathomable mystery to most of us, stirs some curiosity. Inevitably, there comes a day when we realize that life's fleeting nature is distressingly real as a fact for each of us. Is it all over when the darkness falls? Critics of religion suggest that this belief in an afterlife could merely be wish fulfillment, helping us simply to believe in what we desire. Go ahead, believe in life after death. If it's true, you'll be able to say, yes, I told you so, when you go further. If it's not, you'll never know anyway. Although it's impossible to provide any conclusive scientific proof of life after death, we can observe several signposts in our existence that suggest the possibility of immortality, of a life beyond. The first of these signposts is that there are unseen realities all around us. Just because we can't hear, see, taste, touch, or smell something does not mean it doesn't exist. Just as radio waves are everywhere, there can also be a spiritual realm moving around us all the time, as real as the material world we experience every moment. If we can fully fathom the implications of the invisible realities that surround us, surely quite a number of the doubts and questions about a life beyond can be dismissed. However, can we really be confident about a spiritual unseen reality? Is it an intellectually sound proposition? That question is indeed the crux of the debate between religion and materialism, or between Christianity and humanism. It is inherently challenging to abandon our mental habit of judging by appearances, especially when considering life after death, given that the finality of death often appears so obvious. Actually, basing everything on appearances isn't just against religion, it's in fact unscientific. Science assures us that things aren't always as they seem, and judgments based purely on appearances are very likely to be flawed. Even solid objects, like the stones of a church building, are essentially masses of rapidly whirling electrons with loads of space between each nucleus and its electrons. Acknowledging that the most fundamental entities in the universe are not directly observable suggests that our perceptions of reality, limited as they are by our senses, might only capture a small fraction of the total picture. The importance of the unseen is evident also in the inner realities that define our human experience. We are not merely physical bodies, but beings that possess thoughts, emotions, and desires, things that really defy physical measurement, but are certainly real. We recognize that the existence of love is real, even though it can't be seen under a microscope or analyzed by a computer. The unseen is therefore part of our everyday experience, subtly hinting at realities that extend beyond the physical world and possibly even beyond death. As part of this first signpost, the reality of the unseen, we have the universal yearning for justice. We intrinsically feel that goodness ought to be rewarded and evil punished. We admire heroes, hate wickedness, and always hope for a fairer world where people will receive their just deserts. Couldn't it be that the universal longing for justice indicates an unseen realm where ultimate justice is actually given out? If such a place exists, it would necessarily have to be beyond the reach of death, thereby pointing once more to the possibility of an ongoing life beyond this current one. Human love and our capacity for self-sacrifice add to this reality of the unseen. Love often demands sacrifices that contradict our innate self-preservation instincts. Parents put their children's needs before their own. Soldiers die for their countries. Saints suffer and are martyred for their faith. These acts of selflessness don't seem to confer any evolutionary advantage, and yet they're celebrated as the highest expressions of humanity. That apparent paradox of love and sacrifice that transcends biological instincts and physical needs resonates with the Christian faith's teaching of eternal life. It suggests that there might be a realm where love is truly celebrated, a realm unaffected by the worldly constraints of time and death. As well as the reality of the unseen as one signpost towards life beyond death, let's look at the rationality of the universe as a possible second signpost in this brief inquiry into immortality. If the development and evolution of the universe is to be basically rational, as the laws of nature, especially gravity, seem to assure us, how does that stand with any rejection of a notion of a life beyond this one? We'd be compelled to accept a universe that brings into existence the marvel of personality with its noble capabilities, only to extinguish it ultimately. We'd have to believe that the universe, after toiling to develop this crowning achievement, subsequently discards it. Is it truly plausible that the spirit of Beethoven when he composed the Ninth Symphony, or in Leonardo as he painted his Last Supper, is as transient as autumn leaves in the wind, designed for the scrap heap of oblivion? That's where you're left if you deny the Christian concept of immortality. Maybe it's not the Christian believer who appears irrational, but our mocking critics, whose philosophy reduces any notion of universal purpose to mere illusion. The third signpost towards
pointing towards immortality, is the character of God. What's at stake in the discussion about the life beyond is actually the nature of God himself or herself. God, I believe, has created human beings with a stretching for the beyond, a restless desire for a universe that is friendly, for an ending that leans back into everlasting arms. We have these instincts. And why would a creator foster those hopes only to shatter them callously? Not only is it the Bible which tells us that God is love, but our inbuilt spiritual senses tell us that love is surely at the very core of all life. If satisfying that love, which is utterly central to creation, involves breaking the chains of death, then those chains will surely be shredded. A further signpost is the Christian experience of new life here and now. Throughout history, Christians have declared that fellowship with Christ has confirmed their dreams of the hereafter. Why is that? It's not only that Christ said quite plainly, as we heard earlier from John's Gospel, "If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" It's also that countless individuals, upon finding a real fellowship with Jesus Christ, have discovered eternal life as a present reality. They've transitioned into a new realm where the bitterness of death is left behind and the eternal order reaches into the present. First letter of John declares, "We have passed from death into life." It's the power of an endless life pulsing into our experience. "Some morning you will read in the papers," said Moody, the evangelist of Moody and Sankey fame, to a group of friends. "Some morning you'll read in the papers that D.L. Moody is dead. Don't believe a word of it. At that moment I shall be more alive than I have ever been. I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was born of the spirit in 1856. That which is born of the flesh may die. That which is born of the Spirit shall live forever." He was right. Death can't touch this glorious awakening which can be ours in fellowship with Jesus. Finally, the resurrection of Christ himself brings us our last signpost. The first disciples were emboldened by the knowledge that their master had faced the powers of darkness down and emerged victorious. To me, that's always been one of the most convincing proofs of the resurrection, that those disciples, frightened and cowering, powerless and lost, were utterly transformed into living firebrands of witness and truth, happy to lay down their lives for the Lord they had seen risen from the tomb. People don't die for a lie. Death had met its match when Jesus confronted it directly. It was finally overpowered, and morality was swallowed up by life in all its fullness, the life beyond immortality. In conclusion, these signposts towards a life hereafter, the reality of the unseen, the rationality of the universe, the character of God, the Christian experience of new life now, and the resurrection of Christ, give us good reason to walk in the light with gladness, singing songs of the city of God towards which we definitively journey. The dawn of an eternal morning does await us. Now to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all glory and dominion, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forevermore shall be. Amen. Let's join now together in singing the hymn, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life?" David, can I once again thank you for that immense accompaniment of the last verse there. Let's listen now to a meditation written by the Reverend John Bell of the Iona community about the different doorways of life. I'm grateful to Willie Henry, who's been willing to read this for us. And can I suggest we might just want to close our eyes and listen as this reading is given.
I did not want to emerge. I never wanted to be born. And the older I grew, the fonder I became of my mother's womb and its warmth and its safety. I feared the unknown, this next world, about which I knew nothing, but imagined the worst. Yet, as I grew, I sensed in my soul that the womb was not my home forever, though I did not know when. I felt sure that one day I would disappear through a door which had yet to be opened, and confront the unknown of which I was afraid. And then it happened. In blood and tears and pain it happened. And I was cut off from the familiar. I left that life behind and discovered not darkness, but light. Not hostility, but love. Not eternal separation, but hands that wanted to hold me. I never wanted to be born, and I don't want to die. And the older I grow, the fonder I become of this world and its warmth and its safety. And I fear the unknown, the next world, about which I know nothing, but imagine the worst. Yet as I grow older, I sense in my soul that this world is not my home forever. Though I do not know when, I feel that one day I will disappear through a door which is yet to be opened. Perhaps, having come so safely through the first door, enjoying the richness of this new life, I should not fear so for the second.
Thank you, Willie. That was beautiful. As we move on then into the last section of our service, let's think about some of the activities in our church family and those events that you can support. In 2 Sundays' time, which I think is the 9th of July, we start our summer series of Cafe Church. Breakfast will be available from 9:15, and there's a short service beginning about 9:30. Now, the main service will also be at 10:30, so either come for the whole morning or come for one or other, however you feel. The early service is, of course, particularly suited to families, but everybody is very welcome to attend. Gillian spoke last week about the amazing number of children who are registered for summer mission. That's fantastic, but obviously with that success, we are still looking for more volunteers. So anybody who thinks they might even be able to give up 1 hour during that week, which is the 7th to the 11th of August, please pass your name to the church office. I would say speak to Isabel is as good a way to any, or speak to Fiona. Gillian and Lorna are both on holiday this week, but again, happy to take any volunteers we might be able to have. You will have seen behind me this beautiful piece of artwork. This is on loan to us from our friends at Giffnock Primary School, but in a very real way, it belongs here. The idea for there to be a banner came from the school, who then approached the church, and the project has been led magnificently by Fiona McCaslin. She will be the first to say that the artwork is the children's, the concept is Fiona's. A number of ladies in the congregation helped, but the bulk of the work came from one person. Please take time to come up onto the chancel and have a look at it. It's absolutely beautiful. It conveys all sorts of elements of life in Giffnock, which any of us who have lived here for any length of time will certainly recognise. It's clever, it's witty, and it's very beautiful. All the normal events of a week are still going on. The cafe is open on Tuesday and on Thursday, and tots are on Tuesday. We are looking for volunteers for tea and coffee this morning, because Some of our normal tea and coffee helpers appear to have gone on holiday. Is there anybody who can? Thank you very much, ladies. It's like an auction. Can anybody? Really? Thank you very much. The last quiet time service of this season is on Wednesday before the quiet time team take a well-earned quiet time, I suppose. So that's 7 o'clock on Zoom. Lovely band of very, very regular, so anybody who would like to join. And the golf tournament is on Saturday, August 19th. Any golfers from the congregation are very welcome. Please give your name either to Dorothy or to Ian Cartledge. And I am told that non-golfers are very welcome to join for dinner afterwards at the golf club. Have I forgotten anything, Isabel? In that case, we'll have the offering forward while David plays for us.
Prayers of dedication, thanksgiving and intercession this morning are led for us by Dave Thompson. Thank you very much, Dave.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, from you all our lives have come, and to you each of our lives will return. We cannot truly fathom the mystery of life, nor can we fully fathom the meaning of death. But you are over all and through all. Thank you for the gift of each other, and for the blessing of faith, however shaky it may sometimes have been for each of us. We hold today to the belief that those who have gone before us in the faith, who have loved and nurtured us through life, are in your glorious presence and awaiting a reunion of souls in your good time. The gifts laid down on your table now and contributed in other ways through technology are a tiny acknowledgement of all that we owe you. We give thanks for the relative plenty with which you've blessed us and dedicate not only these offerings, but our daily living to the spreading of your word and the healing of your love. Thank you for the blessings of summertime, the smell of cut grass, the perfume of roses, the glistening sunshine on loch and sea, the soft rain that gives life to everything, and the beauty of mountain and valley, forest and field. The fresh food and water we enjoy each day is not experienced by all your children, so we in turn now pray for our world and our sisters and brother within your human family. Today, far too many people will die of hunger or preventable diseases when there are sufficient resources for everyone, if we were only to spread them more equally. Father, forgive our greed and our willful ignorance of what we could be doing to counteract all the inequalities of our system. We pray for some common sense to prevail in the deep problems of global warming, storing up disaster for our grandchildren, and succeeding generations. Always governments try to kick the can down the road, too preoccupied with those issues of the present and too focused simply on the next election. Forgive us, Father, and help us to sort out the immediate issues so that the longer term can come back into focus. May some scientific discovery pave the way for pan-global solutions to the greenhouse gases and carbon squandering. Once more, we bring to you the dreadful war in Ukraine, seemingly started by one man's obsession with power and desire to restore a huge empire of control. We pray that the current offensive, as Ukraine attempts to take back some of the territory lost to the aggressor, will not cause too many lost lives and will be successful. We recognise also that there are many other situations of violence in our world, between nations, within the confines of countries themselves, and in households where domestic violence is ruining lives. Please make clear to each person who has entered this cycle of aggression that the innate direction of human living towards happiness can never be served by antagonism, but only by kindness. We pray now for those who are unwell, in body, mind or spirit. Individuals winding a weary way towards treatment or results or further operations or uncertainty and fear. Be with them. Give them the conscious support of people close to them. Smooth out the path of medical decisions or social needs and bring hope to ward off despair. We pray for the often undervalued professions such as social workers, counsellors, cleaners, carers, recognising that they can make life so much better for folk with whom they work. And now, in a few moments of quiet, we offer our own prayers for the people we know who are in particular need just now. Make these prayers powerful to do your work, Father. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you very much, Dave. And now our closing hymn is number 738. Which is Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, Zion, City of Our God.
Thank you.
peace of God, which is beyond our utmost understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and abide within all whom you love, whether in this world or already gone further, today to the end of time and beyond into God's eternity.